Well, I know I'm sure everybody's tired, and Brother Dennis is not here, as you can tell, and you can feel it, and, you know, I'm sure y'all miss your pastor, and you miss the first, second, and third stringers as well, but we're just going to get through it, all right? Just hang in there. We'll get through it. If you will, take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to draw your attention to verses number 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says that we are troubled on every side. This is Paul speaking. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And you look at these verses and you notice a couple of things. You notice, first off, that Paul has problems. He just outright admits it, and we'll look at some other passages that show the extent of what he's gone through. But secondly, you notice his attitude about it, and that he's not trodden down about it. He's not just moaning. He's not complaining. He's saying, I have these problems, but I'm not distressed. I'm not in despair. I'm not cast down and not destroyed. And if you remember Sunday morning, Brother Dennis preached on adversity. In his message, he stated that, number one, adversity will come for all. And, you know, even at my young age, adversity has come. And we know that to be a true statement. You just can't get through life without adversity coming. Number two, he stated that adversity will leave at some point, and either in this life or in eternity. And so that's something to look forward to. You're singing the song, Everybody Will Be Happy Over There. It's a good song. And oftentimes we get caught up and we don't really think about the words. We're just going through the motions. It's Wednesday evening and we're tired. We just want to get home, relax in the recliner, fall asleep, you know, eat some cookies, whatever. And but everybody's going to be happy over there. You start to think about that. That's a great thought, man. That's a great thought. I know a lot of people in this church, and I'm not talking about church problems, a lot of people in here, and I don't know all your issues, but everybody's got something going on, it seems like. And we all got adversity. We all got some struggle or another, but it's going to end one day. And number three, the thrust or the emphasis of his message was this question: how will that adversity leave you? And it can leave you burdened, bitter, and broken, or it can leave you refined, resolute, and restored. And there's a few things that that adversity can do for you, but it depends upon your outlook on it. And you see Paul's outlook on the adversity that he had, and you look at it and you say, how does that happen? How does a man go through all the things that he goes through? And we're going to see some of the things that he went through later on. And how does he retain a positive attitude through that? How does he retain his faith in the Lord? How does he retain the willingness to serve the Lord no matter what comes? And, you know, I think oftentimes, and we're going to look at that question. We all go through adversity, like he stated. But what a waste of an opportunity for the Lord. I think about the worst thing that could possibly happen in my life or in your life is that we go through the adversity, which will come, and we fall out. All that adversity, which could be used to draw us closer to the Lord, which could get us restored and refined and able to be used by him more and able to be drawn closer to him, and we turn away, we get put out because of the attitude or just because sometimes the things are really hard. Thank you. Appreciate it. What a waste if that's to happen. And if we're honest, we can all look at people in our lives. We all know people individually, personally, that have fallen out because of adversity, because of struggles, because of trials. And I know several people in all kinds of different churches that I've been in. Just growing up in church, you see it. And so I want to try and answer a question tonight. How, he talked about how will it leave you, but I want to ask this question tonight. How can you get through the adversity? Not how will it leave you, but how do you get through it while it's there? How do you go through it and come out on the other side still willing to serve the Lord, still willing to be faithful, still loving him and trust in him? And if I had to title my message tonight, it would be the Christian's Success Through Adversity. Now, the first thing that I want you to look at, if you would, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to stay mainly in 2 Corinthians tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want you to look at verse 23. And here, the Corinthians are almost forcing him to, he says he speaks as a fool. They're forcing him to state his credentials, forcing him to state what he's done for the Lord, how much better he is than other people at things, and really causing him to lay out his credentials before him. I want you to look at verse number 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And in verse 28, besides those things that are without, that cometh, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And he's stating all these things that he's been through, and, you know, none of us have been through that stuff. None of us have been stoned to death. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. And you come back into your body, and the first thing you do is you march back in and go preaching again. And none of us have been whipped. None of us have been shipwrecked that I know. If you have, I'd like to hear the story, but not that I know of. You know, none of us have been a whole 24 hours in the deep, in the ocean, surrounded by cold water and who knows what else. None of us have been through that. And then he says, verse 28, besides those things that are without, that physically, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And you think of all the New Testament churches at the time, Paul pretty much had a hand in all of them, whether it be by doctrine or whether it be going to the cities and setting them up. He had a hand in all of those things. And, you know, that's a lot of churches. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of things. You know, I had, for 8 months, just a short stint, care over one little church. And now I'm here. You know how that ended. So it's hard. It's real hard. And so Paul had a lot going on. He had a lot of adversity, a lot more than you and I are ever faced. And I don't say that to make light of the troubles that you have in your lives, the troubles that this church has been going through or has right now financially or otherwise. And I don't want to make light of that. All I do is bring light to that to understand that Paul knows what he's talking about. Paul absolutely can attest to the fact that we go through trials and adversity, and his mindset, if we can get his mindset, we'll be able to go through a lot more than we think possible. But he acknowledges the problem. He acknowledges that he has persecution back in our other text, and he acknowledges it, and it doesn't discourage him. How is that? How is he able to go through all those things? Well, it's not because he had some great physical... He was not some great physical specimen of a man that was able to bear all the whippings, that was able to bear swimming for 24 hours, as to bear any of that thing. It wasn't that. It wasn't that he had a great intellect, and he did. He had a great intellect. He was very wise, very smart man. But it wasn't that. It wasn't anything that he brought to the table that gave him the strength to carry on. And it was the fact that he leaned upon the Lord to get him through the trials. Now, if we're going to get through the trials and the adversity that the Lord or the devil or the world places in our lives, we're going to have to realize a few things. The first thing that you're going to be required to have to get through the adversity is you're going to have to require some humility. It requires humility. You know, you have to realize that you are not strong enough to get through the trials on your own. And some things we can handle. Some things, you know, are not that big of a deal. Some of you have greater shoulders, bigger shoulders, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but you have a greater capacity to handle problems and stress and trials than I do or someone else in the church. Some of us are just built more that way, okay? And some of us aren't. Some of us, I'll get a stubbed toe and I'm crying about it, okay? Some of us just can't handle pain very well. We can't, you know, I hurt my back. And it's interesting to think about the fact that, you know, when you're young, you kind of laugh at older people. I want to be careful how I say this, but older, I wouldn't say old, but older people and how they, I just can't hardly walk. I can't get around until you get put down on your back. You're like, oh, I get it now, you know, and you really start to have a little more respect for some people that have health problems. You know, but some of us just don't have the ability to get through it. Some of us have more, but there is always going to be a certain point where every single one of us are not able to carry on, where every single one of us are going to have the waves and the winds and the storms of life come about us, and they're just going to drown us out. We won't be able to get on. We can't be self-sufficient. You know, I remember not so much anymore. I started to wise up a little bit, but when I was younger, 18, 19, moved out of the house, thought I was it, man. I thought it was God's gift to mankind and all that. And my dad always made fun of me because the word I used for everything was awesome. And I'd say, I'm awesome, man. I'm so awesome, you know, and get all just get all bowed up, think I was something. I started working out with Bird Dennis. I'll just tell a story real quick. I started working out with Bird Dennis. We're trying to be workout partners, keep each other accountable and stuff. And you walk in the gym. It's the first time I've been in gym in probably 5 years. And you walk in and you see some guy that probably weighs about as much as I am, not that much bigger, but wearing the tank top that's cut all the way down here, you know, got the big bottle, you know, he's all set up, got the ear pods in, and he's over there in the mirror just, you know, and then he gets done with his set and he's like, you know, getting all, I mean, you're in Planet Fitness, you're not in Gold's Gym, you're not, you know, you're not going to be Mr. Olympia, but, you know, we all get in our mindset that we think that we're better than we are. We think that we're self-sufficient. We think that we can handle problems. We think that we can get along. And that mindset is not good. It's pride. And the Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And if for you to get through the adversity, for you to get through the trial, you know what it's going to require? It's going to require grace. And you cannot get that grace as a proud person. You know, there will come a day when you will not be able to overcome. And if you are proud, if you will not bear down on that pride, if you will not humble yourself before God, you're not going to get through the adversity. Oh, sure, you might come out on the other side. You might come out and still carry on in life, but you're not going to be fit for service to the Lord. You're not going to be pleasing to the Lord. Your Christian walk is going to be shot because you counted on yourself instead of Jesus Christ. Look, if you will, at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and look what Paul has to say about this. 2 Corinthians 12, just a page over there, and look at verse number 9. Actually, let's look at verse 7. Paul's getting all of this visions, and he's getting all the wisdom about the new doctrine and everything that were going on about that he writes about in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. See, the Lord's cutting down his pride. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Notice what he said. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory and mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know what Paul had to do? He had to humble himself. He not only had to put himself under God's hand, he besought the Lord thrice for this thing to go away, and the Lord said no. He had to humble himself. What if the Lord puts something in your life and he just refuses to take it away? It stinks. We always think that the Lord is just going to be quick to jump on our prayers and heal us and to fix the problem and to get us through it. But what if he says no? That takes humility to say, okay, Lord, you know best. I need this in my life, I guess. And to sit underneath that thing and to take it. And he goes further on to say that most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. You know, nobody likes trouble. Nobody likes trials. But there comes a point, if you can humble yourself under God, you can begin to glory in your infirmities. Not look at the situation through the eyes of how most of us happen to do, and that is, there's something wrong in my life. There's something going bad. I have to, and don't get me wrong, we should pray about it. We should ask the Lord for help. Absolutely. But if he says no, are you humble enough to submit yourself? Not to get bitter, not to get burdened, not to get broken down, but to go on. Humble. For you to get through any adversity in your life the right way and be pleasing to the Lord, you have to humble yourself. That's the start. Because when you humble yourself, when you say, I cannot get through, when you're not self-sufficient, when you're not self-reliant, that begins to let you look outward to someone else who can actually help you. Number two, I want you to see not only does it require humility, getting through the adversity requires persistence. You cannot just throw up one prayer. You cannot just read one chapter of your Bible when you have some trouble come upon you and expect it to solve everything. You can't. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's effectual. It's to effect. In order for that to happen, you have to be right with the Lord. There's many verses about things that are going to hinder your prayer. Do you know those verses? Are you looking up them up? Are you being faithful to the Word to be obedient to it? You have to have effectual prayer. It has to be fervent. It has to be real to you. You know, we have a prayer list, and it's always on the back of our bulletin, and we're supposed to pray for each other. But sometimes you can get carried through. We just get busy during the day. I notice I had this problem, and that is that I get busy. I even have a time set apart for prayer. There's just not enough time to fervently pray for everybody. There isn't. There's such a long list, and you're going. And so what happens, the tendency, the pitfall, is that you just start reading down the list, Lord, bless them and help them, bless them and help them, bless them and help them, bless them and help them. And you're not invested in their life. You're just reading a list because that's what we're supposed to do. Your prayer's not fervent. You're not really invested in their life. And the best thing that I've found in my life is when someone is sick, when someone has lost a loved one. I think we've had several people on our list lost loved ones. Is you just place yourself in their shoes. You say, how would that make me feel? You hear stories of a husband losing his wife and having two little girls to take care of. How would that make you feel? And you can pray fervently, you can pray effectively. But it requires persistence. You can't just read your Bible one time and expect to find the answer to all your problems. You can't play Bible roulette. That just doesn't work that way. You can't flip open the pages and say, oh Lord, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Okay, but are you surrendered to Christ? I mean, you got to live it, man. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And all we always look at that is rightly dividing. But study. When you're going through a problem, when you're going through a trial and adversity, do you know the verses to turn to when you need encouragement, when you need comfort, when you need peace or strength to get through something? Do you know the verses to turn to? You got to study. It's hard work. If Christianity was easy, everybody would do it and they'd all be superstars. And that's just not the case. It's hard work to get up every day, to die to yourself daily, and to submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is very hard work because we're submitting to ourselves to someone who we've never seen, who we by faith just believe is there, and we have to fight all the things that are physical in our lives to follow Him. It's hard work, but it requires persistence. The next thing, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. The next thing I want you to see, so if you're going to get help, if you're going to be successful throughout the adversity in your life, you have to be humble. That's the first thing. It's so important. God resisteth the proud. Secondly, you have to be persistent in your walk with the Lord. You can't be an on-again, off-again Christian. So many people get on again. They get on fire for the Lord, and then they go through one, often by 1 week. You know how many times I've found in my own life that the Lord deals with me in something on Sunday morning, and I say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do good. I'm going to get my Bible, and Monday morning, I'm real faithful. I read my Bible and I pray. And Tuesday, I wake up a little later. I read a little less. I don't pray as fervently. I don't have as much time for the Lord. By Wednesday, I'm like, Lord, I need this. By Thursday and Friday and Saturday, it's just dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. You got to be persistent. You got to be faithful. The Lord, the Bible says, moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We're all stewards of something. Everything that God that we have has been given to us. Think of your health, the ability to be here. Think of the time that God has given you on this earth. You got to be faithful. You got to be submitted to Him and follow Him daily. All right, and then number three, I want you to see that it requires patience. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 and look at verse 28. Isaiah 40, 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He never tires. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. The Bible says the glory of a young man is his strength, but even we will fall, a young man. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, to get through adversity, it requires patience. We today are not very patient. At least I'm not. Maybe y'all are just, you know, you can wait in a fast food line for about 45 minutes and never get mad, never cuss the workers out. Say, what are you doing? You know, I need my burger now. We're not very patient. And it's a lifestyle, sure. Some of it's lifestyle, but a lot of it is our heart. We're just not patient. We've grown to expect things now. We want it now. That applies to a fix to all our problems, too. When I got hurt, I had to lay on my back for about a month. And for some of y'all, that's nothing. You're like, I did that for 3 years, you know. But for me, that was pretty rough. You know, I've not had a ton of health problems. And you know what I prayed? You know, the first night I prayed, I went to the hospital. I'm like, Lord, help me to get what I need through this. By week one was over, I was like, Lord, get me up and going again. You know, not very patient. Just not very patient, not willing to wait on the Lord to work through some things, not willing to wait on the Lord to work some things in my heart so that he can make me refine, so that he can get a hold of and fix what he needs to fix. And we're not very patient. We want to fix now. It says here, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Sometimes we pray a prayer and we throw something up to the Lord and we just expect him to get on it right now. We expect him to fix the problem, and that if he doesn't fix it right then he's just not listened, or he just doesn't care, and we can get selfish like that. But you have to realize that the Lord does not work like that. He's not a fast food, you know. You know the thing about fast food is you get it fast, but it's terrible. It's terrible. And maybe if you had gotten a fast food fix from the Lord, it would not help you in your life like a longer wait would. When you go to Musto's and you sit down, and my favorite plate is the seafood tortellini. I love that thing. But you know what? You're going to wait longer there for something than you are in the line at Burger King. You know what? It's going to be a lot better. It's going to be worth the wait. And the same is true of Jesus Christ. You realize that he is not constrained by the burdens of time like we are. We expect something to happen right now. We expect it to get fixed right now. He's not worried about that. You know what he's worried about? He's worried about your heart. He's worried about how your relationship with him is. He's worried about how that thing can fix it. All things work together for good, right? To them that love God. Sometimes that good requires a wait. Sometimes it does. You may not be facing adversity right now. Moving on, you may not be facing adversity right now. And if not, praise the Lord. That's a blessing, because one day you will. One day you will. And, you know, adversity may not always be in the form that we think it is. Oftentimes when we think of adversity or real trials or struggles in our life, we think of the death of a loved one. We think of financial trouble. We think of not being able to pay the bills. We think of bad health. We think of a lot of things that are bad like that. But sometimes adversity is not even that major, but it can have just as dire results if we're not faithful and we don't wait on the Lord. I want you to think about Paul. We've been talking about Paul and his mindset and how he was able to stay faithful to the Lord, how he's able to go through the troubles. And you know what? Number one, he was humble. Number two, he was persistent. He never gave up. And number three, he was patient. Things take time. But there were some people in his entourage, I guess you would say, that did not fare as well with the adversity. And you say, okay, well, what adversity was that? I want you to think about Demas. Demas has forsaken me, loving this present world. You know what Demas's adversity was? His desires. looking at the world and saying, man, that looks pretty good. Why do I got to be over here and be with this gung-ho Paul who starves himself, fastings often, getting stuck and shipwrecked and all this? This ain't for me. That life over there looks pretty cushy. It looks pretty good. I think that I like the, you know, the steak and the mashed potatoes and all that. And Paul's over there eating crackers and water because he's trying to get a hold of the Lord. And that's not for me. And adversity comes in desires. Don't tell me that you don't go home and you just have some desire that would separate you from the Lord. Don't tell me there's something in every one of our hearts that keeps us from being fully committed to the Lord. You know what that is? That's adversity. It's striving against the Lord. How about this? What about John Mark? You say, what was John Mark's adversity? John Mark's adversity was unmet expectations. He went with the Apostle Paul and went on some missionary journeys with him and Barnabas, and he left. Why? Maybe because it wasn't what he expected. He expected more people to get saved. He expected more to get done. And here Paul is just getting whipped and beaten and scourged and torn up. And he said, this isn't what I signed up for. Unmet expectations. And he said, I'm out of here. I can't handle it. And that's adversity. Sometimes we get in our life some expectations about the Lord that we think that he's going to answer some things. We think that life should go a certain way according to our mind. We have pre-made plans for our life. And when the Lord doesn't answer them, when the Lord doesn't give you exactly what you want, you can get mad, you can get upset, frustrated, and that's adversity. That's something getting in between you and the Lord. What about Barnabas? You say, well, Barnabas was a great comforter. He was a good man. He went with the Apostle Paul. You know what his adversity was? And I guess it'd be Paul's too. It was contention with the brethren. John Mark split them up because he left. And those two were one of the greatest missionary duos that I've ever heard of. But it split them up. The contention was sharp between them. You know some adversity that happens, and I've seen it in churches. I've seen, and I'm not saying that about our church at all, but I want you to be warned about it. I want you to be careful about this thing. I've been in churches where the adversity and the contention was so strong, you could almost cut it with a knife. You go in there and the spirit's so bound up, there's no way the Lord's doing anything because two people on either side of the room are so mad at each other, won't talk to each other, and they are completely limiting the Holy Ghost. They're ruining the service. They're messing the whole thing up because of contention, and usually over something dumb. Maybe not, but usually it's something petty. And it comes down to preference and not anything that has to do with anything spiritual. And that's a lot of times what it is. And that's adversity. And it can ruin a church. It can ruin your relationship with the Lord. And you have to watch that thing. Now, you may not be facing adversity in the way that we would typically think of it. But I'm sure that there's something in your life that you could point to. Maybe it's lusts and desires. Maybe it's unmet expectations. Maybe the Lord's not answered a prayer like you thought he should. Maybe he's taking too long to answer a prayer. Maybe you've just got strife with some brethren. Well, guys, we need to get through it. We need to get through it. Like I said at the very beginning, I said the worst thing that could possibly happen is for you to go through all this trouble, all this trial, all this adversity in your life and come out the other side and be useless for the Lord. It's the worst outcome. Absolute worst outcome because you think about, well, I'm just going to live life the way I want. Okay, maybe you live life the way you want. Maybe the Lord leaves you alone and he just lets you go on your own way. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, it's not going to be good for you. You're going to have had terrible experiences in life. And, I know everything's going to be great. Everybody's going to be happy over there. Some people are going to be happier. Some people are going to be, like Paul, are going to be more blessed because he was faithful to the Lord. Now, just a couple more things and we'll finish up here. I want to say something about just being faithful and carrying on. There's a couple hindrances that are going to get to us when we face adversity. One thing that I've noticed, and especially with older people, not sometimes younger people, but normally older people, is that you'll rest on your past achievements to propel you through the present. I've known a lot of people that will say, oh, I used to door knock a lot. I used to witness a lot. I used to read my Bible faithfully. I was a prayer warrior. I spent hours in prayer. I used to be able to do all this stuff. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:16 real quick. I used to be able to do this stuff. You know, Paul tells church, he says, Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Sometimes the hindrance comes from our own self in thinking that we've achieved enough for the Lord Jesus Christ, in thinking that we have arrived, in thinking that what we have done in the past is good enough for the present. Paul said, I die daily. I press towards the mark. That's a daily struggle. You never get to the point where you should be able to say, oh, that's good enough. I think I'll have enough crowns in heaven. I think that it'll be good enough. You know, let's look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. And I want you to see, for which cause we faint not. He's talking about, we just read how he's persecuted but not forsaken. But here's what he says. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You can't renew yourself once a week. You can't have renewed yourself 2 years ago and expect yourself to be able to stand up to the struggles, be able to stand up to the devil, be able to stand up to the problems in your life. It's a daily thing. You know, I think it was Sunday afternoon, me and Sonny and Tyler were talking about football and how we used to play football. And we were telling all our failures and all our glory stories and all that. And it was pretty funny. You know, we were having a good time. And, you know, I had to regale in this account of how I caught a one-handed pass in the air in double coverage, you know, 30-yard pass, all this stuff. Crowning achievement of my life, really. I was 14. I peaked real early. And you know what? And people do that, you know. Older folks will relive the glory days, right? We'll look back and say, man, I used to be able to do this. Man, if I could go back. Well, you can't. I can't go back. I could maybe do some of that stuff still because I'm a young man, but I wouldn't be able to run as long as I used to. You know, it doesn't take much to make you realize you're not as invincible as you once thought. Just get wheelchaired out of a zoo, and you'll learn real quick that you're not that tough. And, you know, but people rest on past achievements, their laurels, and they'll say, that's enough, that's good enough. And it's not. It's a daily, the inward man is renewed day by day. Another one that I want to, you know, and one of the reasons, I want to go back to that. One of the reasons why you are not capable, and one of the reasons why you don't do the things that you used to do is because you don't practice. If I practice every day and did the Supermans and did all the workouts that we used to do for football, if I ran, you know, 5 miles a week on top of what I used to do in practice, all that stuff, I used to work out real hard just so I could make a catch that doesn't mean anything years down the line. Used to do all that. You know the reason why I'm supposed to be in the prime of my life right now, and the reason why I could not do some of the things I used to do is because I haven't practiced. I could think. See, and what happens is you think that you can still do that, right? I look at all the men around here, and we all have one thing in common mostly, and that's we have an ego. And I don't know why that is. Women generally don't struggle with that as much, but men have an ego, and we tend to think that at hitting 30, I can do the same thing I could do at 16. I don't have to stretch. Or 45, I can do the same thing I could when I'm 30. And, well, that's why we always get hurt. We can't. And it's a hard lesson to learn. But you know what? If we practice every day, I'm sure we could do a lot more than we can now. The same is true in your Christian walk. The things that you used to do, the things that you were faithful to do, the things spending time in prayer and reading and being fervent and having a good relationship with the Lord and loving Him. You know the reason why we don't have such just an undying love for Him anymore is because we don't spend time with Him. You know, a man will spend time with what he loves, and a man will love what he spends time with. And, you know, it's because we don't spend time with Him. It's because we don't practice those things. The other thing that I want you to think about is this. And while I'm talking, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 1. I've got some verses to read with this, and then we're going to close up here. I'm almost done. Just hang in a little longer. Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 23 through 28. But another thing that happens, and I want to warn you against, especially, you know, your younger people, some of the older folks know that you have to prepare in order to do something. Sometimes if you're going to run a race, what do people do? They prepare. Y'all who play baseball, what do you do before you play a game? You practice and practice and practice so you don't make that dumb error when you're on first base and, you know, they get a score or whatever. You practice, right? Don't wait till game day to practice. By then it's going to be too late. You're going to be unprepared for the trial, for the team that you're playing against. What do people do? You know, they watch tapes. They watch how the other team plays. If you really get invested in the NFL, I mean, they study, right? They study. You think, oh, they're a bunch of dummies that can't graduate college. But they'll study game tape in order to play a game well and win. They'll put a lot of effort in. A lot of professional athletes, they go on crazy diets. They keep themselves back from things in order to achieve something. And they practice and they practice and they practice. But, you know, Usain Bolt, that was back in my day when I was a kid. He was like the fastest guy around, right? And still holds a lot of records, I think. But, you know, as fast as he was naturally talented, right? But as fast as he would not have won all the stuff that he did if he had not practiced. If he had waited till game day to just stretch his legs, be like, okay, I got this. You know, I'm the fastest man in Uganda or wherever he came from. I'm sure I can beat everyone in the world and just fail. Go home without a medal, whatever. You cannot come to the day of adversity. You cannot come to the day of problems and struggles and say, okay, now I'm going to study. Now I'm going to pray. God, I got a problem. I need your help. You don't even know how to pray fervently. You don't even know the verses to go look in your Bible to see where you need to go, the things that could help and encourage you along the way. You don't know. You're unprepared. And don't wait till game day to practice. It won't do any good. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and look at verse number 23. And this is wisdom talking here. She's saying, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. She's imploring, come unto me and I will teach you. Because I've called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. You say, why are you talking about this stuff? And it's stuff that's simple, it's basic, it's nothing deep. It's things that, you know, we learn in, I mean, my goodness, preschool. Read your Bible and pray every day. You all know the song. But what happens when a team fails? You know what they go back to? They go back to the basics. They go back to the simple things. Because oftentimes it's not some fancy route that they didn't know about. It's not some fancy teamwork that the other team used that made them lose. It's the fact that they failed in the basics. And you know what makes us fail the adversities? We fail in the basics. We fail to be faithful to the Lord. We fail to humble ourselves before Him. We fail to be persistent in our relationship with Him. We fail to be patient with Him as He tries to work our things in our heart out. And folks, if we can't get those things turned around, basic or not, we are never going to succeed. We're going to fall. We're going to get out of the Christian walk. And we're just going to be another byproduct of faithlessness. We're going to be another story. That's all it's going to come to. And when we get to eternity, we're going to have nothing to give the Lord Jesus Christ. Our church is going through some things financially now and otherwise. And you know what the Lord's trying to do? He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to draw you back to the basics. And we just need to do it. Brother Mark, I'm going to have you come for a minute and just play a verse or two. And I don't know, you know, I get up here, you know, not to fill time, but I want to help you. But ultimately, only person who can help you is the Lord, and if you're willing to deal with Him. And yes, it's basic. Yes, it's things that we already know. But it's oftentimes why we fail, because we're just not faithful to the basics, to the training. And if we were, we could get through adversity a lot more. Brother Mark, go ahead. If you have something that you need to deal with the Lord about, either in your pew or come up here, please do it. It's time to get back to the basics.